Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, and we thank you for your daily bread that you give us from your word. I pray that you'll help us to understand the nourishment that you're providing with us today, the spiritual food. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 9, verse 30 to 33, the message. How can we sum this up? All those people who didn't seem interested in what God was doing actually embraced what God was doing as he straightened out their lives. And Israel, who seemed so interested in reading and talking about what God was doing, missed it. How could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over. They were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. They were so absorbed in their God projects, they didn't notice God right in front of them, like a huge rock in the middle of the road. And so they stumbled into him and went sprawling. Isaiah again gives us the metaphor for pulling this together. Careful, I've put a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion, a stone you can't get around. But the stone is me. If you're looking for me, you'll find me on the way, not in the way. I'd like to refer to an earlier verse in the chapter, Romans 9 verse 25. NKJV. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. Now Hosea is quite an interesting book. I read the whole thing. I'm not going to do all 14 chapters here, but here's a summary. Hosea depicts God's unwavering love and faithfulness despite Israel's persistent unfaithfulness and idolatry. Through the prophet's marriage to his unfaithful wife Gomer, God illustrates his enduring commitment to his people. Hosea calls for repentance, warning of impending judgment while promising restoration and hope for those who return to the Lord. God's faithfulness is highlighted in 2 Timothy 2 verse 11 to 13 NLT. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And so God's faithfulness is part of his character. It's who he is. I want to talk about the stone mentioned in verse 33, the rock. That is actually referring to Jesus, who is the rock of our salvation. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so when it says that if you're looking for me, you'll find me on the way, that's looking for Jesus and finding him. Verse 33 sounds slightly different in NKJV. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So that's him with a capital H, whoever believes on him being the rock. To some he is a rock of offense and a stumbling stone, and to some he is the rock of our salvation. The fact that he's the rock of our salvation is mentioned a number of times, mostly in the Psalms. Psalm 18 verse 2, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Also Psalm 62 verse 7, In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Psalm 95 verse 1, O come, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 89 verse 26, He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And Psalm 18 verse 46, The Lord lives, blessed be my rock, let the Lord of my salvation be exalted. So you can see that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. It wasn't easy for Jesus to become that salvation. In Luke 22 verse 42 to 43, we hear his anguish. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, And he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. So salvation, it's a free gift of salvation, but it cost Jesus dearly. It cost God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dearly, because they were in it together, being one. But Jesus was prepared for it. He said in John 12, verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And so while he did not look forward to this suffering, that plentiful harvest of new lives, including yours and mine, that is the joy that was set before him, which is why he was able to go through with it. And Jesus asks us to remember his sacrifice. In Luke 22, verse 20, in KJV. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. It's also reflected in Matthew 26, verse 26 to 27. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And a little insight that's added in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So it's clear to see that salvation comes from the sacrifice that Jesus made, not by anything that we can do, which is why our scripture reading says that those that were trying to obey the law missed it, while those that didn't really know about the law much, but who believed in Jesus, they got it. Jesus highlights this in Luke 11, verse 42, NLT. What sorrow awaits you Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And Jesus illustrates it with another one of his famous parables about two sons in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, Son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, No, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, You go. And he said, Yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, The first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. So if we expect forgiveness from God, we need to repent of our sins and turn away from the sinful lifestyle of the past. A scripture that I've highlighted many times, Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. And so we once again get a multiple choice question between life and death, between blessings and cursings, and you even get a hint, the right answer is choose life. So those of us that have already chosen life, there are people out there that need to know about the love of Jesus, about the forgiveness of God, and about salvation and entering into the kingdom of heaven. So shine your light.